Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday evening. Welcome to my show on Blog Talk Radio. It's called The Chica Show, only on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Myra, aka Chica. And I'm still waiting for some people out here if they want to call in. It's the number here is 657-383-0357. Again, it is 657-383-0357. Well, I'm still waiting for some couple of people out here who wants to join in. And basically, last week I have brought, actually they came in, two lovely sisters came in last week. And we have been talking about discrimination. Okay, but we're going to do some continuation of discrimination because there's so many information, so many stories, so many dialogues, so many anything. And we have a number here ending 11111. That must be, I know who that is.
You better hope you know who it is, honey.
Ending 11111. I know who that is. A good evening, Sister Marilyn. Oh my goodness, how you doing? Happy Saturday night. Welcome to my show.
Hey, hi. How's everybody doing, girl? You know I was dialing the wrong number. I'm going like I'm getting on there at 2 minutes till, right? I'm dialing this number and I'm dialing this number. So there is no show for Block Talk for the next 24 hours. I go like, wait a minute, hold up here. So, you know, I'm going back in there, I'm running in there, looking on my email. I'm going like, hold up. Something's wrong with this number.
It's the exact same number since the beginning.
Stupid me was dialing the wrong Blog Talk number. You know, I got a whole bunch of Blog Talk people doing things, right? And I'm going like, oh, my God, Mara's going to kill me. No wonder these folks done went to bed, probably. Oh, Lord, how are you?
Oh, I am doing great. Welcome to my show. I am so blessed. We just, like, mentioning, I just touched. Just talking right now about the show about last week and how you guys, you and Sister T, been talking, you know, telling about a lot of good stories about, you know, discrimination, how you guys been through it and everything. And I'm just going to continue this because, you know, even though, like, you know, this it was a 90-minute show, but... It's a lot of stuff about what's going on here. I mean, it's just, you know, madness. And You know, oh, we got another call with 9173. I know who this is. It's my sister, Chi.
What's up, baby girl?
Hello, Sister T. Welcome to my show. And
yep. So she's 5 minutes late. I got on that phone. She did.
I know. You're five minutes late. You're 5 minutes
late.
Anyway,
you guys,
Sister T. Well, Sister T and Sister Marilyn, where I was just talking just a few seconds ago about, you know, discrimination, how you too were telling good stories about what was going on in your beliefs and your half of your dialogues, monologues, and all that stuff. So we're going to continue on this one, and then we're going to have a little discussion about suicide. So
okay, because that is going around a lot more. Not to cut you off, our hostess with the mostest, but now it seems that now everybody is wanting to turn, you know, just give up and give up so quickly, and they think suicide is a permanent answer to a temporary situation.
Tina,
and that's basically what it is. We can't sit up there and say that we haven't contemplated it, we haven't thought about it, whatever the case may be, because if we did, we'd all be lying.
Yeah.
We've all had that thought.
I disagree.
You know, this world would be better. We've all had that thought at some point in time.
I disagree.
What? Well, not everybody, though.
Okay, that's better.
What?
That's better. Not everybody. Before we get into conversations, I need to tell you guys something. I'm expecting a very important telephone call on my cell phone. So if it rings and I have to get off, I'll just get off. And then, you know, if I have enough time, I'll come back on. I just want to let you know in case you hear it ring.
That's fine. I mean, no worries.
Okay. Go ahead, Tina.
So, hey,
no, but
continue on, Miss.
You know, thing of it is, when I'm saying everybody has had that thought of woe is me, it can't get better. It won't get better. Well, you know what, baby? If you have the attitude that it won't, it can't, it's not, it ain't, guess what, boo-boo? It's not, because you already spoke into existence.
Now, let me ask you a question. And I probably you guys know an answer.
Okay.
And I want to say this. Well, I really want to, you know, ask, you know, people in life too, but if someone says there's no wounds, you know, like assaulted wounds and everything on your autopsy, let's just say they found a dead body, and they find no assault wounds, no nothing, is that like a possible chance that person do commit suicide or what? See, this is my mind just got triggered to me today.
Okay. You say you walked in and you found the body, and there's no physical proof or visible proof that they have harmed themselves. However, if a person died of a heart attack, if they died of an aneurysm, there is not going to be no type of physical wound that you can see. So we really can't, 99.9, most people, when they think of suicide, they think of the person overdosing. They think of a person shooting themselves or cutting themselves. But in actual reality, what is suicide?
It's a deadly silent killer for me.
It is a silent killer. And see, a lot of people, we don't wake up. Well, I can't speak for everybody on the phone. I can't speak for everybody who is listening. But I know I don't wake up thinking today is the day I'm going to kill myself. I don't wake up saying, oh, today is the day where my sister Myra is going to hurt my feelings, or my aunt Marilyn is not going to talk to me today. No, I don't wake up thinking that. I wake up, okay, today is going to be better than it was yesterday. Yes, yesterday I was sad, or I was upset, or I was angry, or whatever. But today is going to be, it's going to be better. As long as I have that mindset of today is going to be better, no matter what happens, I'm going to try my best to find the positive, then it's going to get better. Perfect example today. I was, you know, I'm working, and I'm going door to door, and I kept getting no's and no's and no's and no's and no's, and it's very, very highly frustrating. Because we was at the home office, and we were saying, who are we, you know, what's the attitude? We're positive. Who are we? I'm number one. Am I going to do this today? Yes, I am. So I was pumped. But as closer as I got to my destination of where I was going to be, right, my nerves set in, my anxiety set in, everything set in, so therefore I'm walking on the door, and I self-sabotage myself because I told myself, walking up to the driver, they won't tell me no. Walking up to the door before I went, knock, 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 ding, dong, they going to tell me no. They're going to slam the door in my face. And what happened? I got told no. I got told I'm not interested. I got told no. No, thank you. Not interested. And they was very rude to me. Why? Because I spoke it in existence. If I sit up in there and I just said, today's the day, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to give it my best shot, and whatever happens, happens, and I'm okay with that. Why? Because I got my creator on my side. But I didn't do that.
Tina. Tina.
Yes.
I want to say something. You said you got all these no's today, right? The next time you're out doing any type of soliciting, this is something you need to know. And this is for anybody who's doing soliciting, okay? If you're talking to people and you get five no's, before you don't know if they're going to say yes or no, whatever, you say to the person, after they say no, use this one little word, can I keep you in the loop? And that means, can you contact me? Can I contact you later? Or you contact me?
Right.
Thank you so very much. And thank you, sir or ma'am. Pass this message on to someone that may need this. And you have a beautiful day. And walk away.
And that's what I did. So I smiled.
Yeah.
I
because if
you.
Not, you're going to drag that negative energy with you every door you go to.
Yeah. Yep. And the negative energy in the problem.
Huh?
My boss said the same thing. He goes, you may have been smiling at the door, but when you was walking up to the door, you may not realize it, but you wasn't smiling. I'm like, well, I had a migraine. And I know most of the time when if I'm in deep thought, it looks like I'm mad when I'm really not.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I'm trying to remember. So I'm trying to go off my script, and I don't want to read the script because I know if I have somebody coming to my door and talking to me and you're paying more attention to your piece of paper, I'm not interested.
May I ask
you
a question?
You have to say.
What was,
because
what
you're not engaging.
Today? What was you selling?
It was just, I've had Time Warner come to my house. I've had security systems to come to my house.
That's not my question. My question is, what was you selling? Not what they were doing. What
oh,
were you
I'm selling Kirby.
Selling what?
Kirby.
Curtains for your house?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So for me, it is, you know, and then I finally got to do a demonstration, and I was so nervous. I went all over my script here, there, and everywhere, and all points in between, And even though the guy was somewhat of an asshole, but
beep 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 beep.
Bad
word.
Yeah.
Bad word.
You know, and for me it was, okay, I understand you worried about the price. I understand you worried about what all it can do. I understand this. I understand that. However, I was able to piggyback off of what he said. Now that I got my first one, most likely Monday, I'm not going to feel as awkward. I'm not going to feel as... So right now, yes, I could go to work tomorrow, but right about now, I just need to sit up there and build myself up.
Well,
yep.
Tina, listen. Listen very carefully. You had a stressful
mm-hmm.
day. You had a stressful
yep.
day. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can still hear it. I can't. I didn't know you had a stressful day, but just listening to the conversation, you had a stressful day. And I can hear it in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, you need mm-hmm. to just to relax. You need to
yeah.
find you. You need to spend some time with you, some downtime, some alone time,
mm-hmm.
some
mm-hmm.
patient time, some God time, and you
mm-hmm.
give thanks. You give thanks to everything that happened to you Saturday, the good and the bad, because it is a learning experience. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, and love yourself. You met some people
yep.
who said no. Biggie, big deal, right? They say no. People say
right.
no all the time. You go to the
right.
grocery store, you may get a no about something. You're looking for something in the store and they don't have it. It's a no. Biggie, big deal. So what?
Mm-hmm.
Now you got tomorrow to look forward to it. Today is gone. It is going to be gone
yep, right.
in hours from now, okay?
Exactly.
And you can't go back that up and make what happened all over again, and you don't want to anyway. You got to keep on pushing up the hill, the future, and that's tomorrow.
Yep.
It's
that's
not
what
prom-
I'm doing. Right
listen
now,
to her.
I'm reflecting, not, I don't want to say what's the word, I'm not focusing on what happened. I'm
reflecting on, listen, you're not focusing, okay? That's fine.
I just said that. I'm not focused. I said I'm reflecting.
I know what you
okay.
said. But what I'm saying
what
is,
did I
hear me
wrong?
Out. Hear me out. Somewhere along the way, that negative is still there. Someone
mm-hmm.
might have said something that it may not have been a whole lot of negative, but it was a rude word. Something
yeah.
happened. Something else. Because you can hear that it's almost like it's making you sad.
Yep.
And you had a migraine headache on top of it. Good Lord.
That's not good.
Mm-hmm. A migraine headache. And so migraine with somebody, you know, looking at you, trying to figure out. And the best thing you did was just did the best that you could do. That's all you can do. You can't make nobody do nothing. And if you're selling drapes, some people want some. Some people might not gonna afford them. Some people, I know some people that don't like curtains in their house, period.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even. Venetian blinds in their house, and they filthy rich, but they don't want Venetian blinds in their house, and they don't want no kind of drapes. Let me tell you why. They want to feel the energy of the sun when it comes in early in the morning, okay?
Yeah.
And it makes the sun. And I've asked them, why don't you put some drapes? It's awful hot in here. You know, when I go visit, I'm going like, whew, this house is beautiful. But, you know, I'm thinking you need some drapes, but they did tell me this. Marilyn, the reason why we don't want any drapes is because I want to feel the sun. It feels so good
mm-hmm.
to me. I'm into the energy of the sun.
Yes,
they have this looks like, you know, the tinted, like you put on your car? They have that
mm-hmm.
on the window. That's what they had to cool the house up. And I'm going like, oh, Lord, you need some drapes. You need some Venetian blinds. And this, because that, you know, that was me, but that's their house. So people basically, you know, They put in their homes what they want to have in there, and if they want to keep it, like I said, you know, my thing was, I bet you got a high light bill, you know, and they go like,
right.
I can afford it, no big deal, you know.
You know,
but,
you know, and for some people that is, you know, you're saying, okay, you may need this, you may need this, you may need this, and to them that may be negative, but you is just, it's not.
You're just on a job and a service. You're just trying to help them out. That's all.
Right.
That's all.
You
mm-hmm.
know, like I'm sitting here now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, okay.
Take a deep breath.
I haven't worked in a minute.
Take a deep breath as you're talking. Because it
yeah.
sounds like started just trying to set in. So take a deep breath and just relax.
Yes,
as you talk.
Do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a way, when I started doing that type of job like that, but it's a different company, even though I keep getting rejected and keep on, you know, getting like, you know, even I put it on Facebook, I put it on like in, you know, like when I take, you know, wear a t-shirt and representing and doing all this stuff. But, you know, one day, they're going to come up to me and they're going to be asking me, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm. And
I will explain, and I explain to them, and I will explain to them in pure, you know, short, you know, deceit language. You know, like, there's one company you get paid to play mobile games, or you could do like, oh, it's Avon, and Avon, they sell like cosmetic stuff, and you know how like many women, they like cosmetics. You know how many teenagers and the grown, you know, people, they like mobile games, or they like you know, housewares and all that stuff. You know, if you post something in a group page, or you know, you invite people there, and they were like, ooh, I like this. And you tell what you guys sell or what you guys are doing or anything. Be a little more, you know, do some small details. Don't get the
and that's
whole
what
thing.
Did, you know, that's, no, and that's the thing of it. That's what, you know, you told them. Because if I would have came to you and I would have stood up there and told you right off the bat, I'm selling a Kirby, you would have tuned me out as soon as I said the word Kirby, because most people don't like Kirby because they say they're too difficult to put together. Okay?
Are you talking about a Kirby vacuum cleaner now, right?
The Kirby vacuum cleaner, exactly. Most people sit there and say, oh, no, my mom had one, or my grandma had one, or my great-grandma had one, and them things were heavy. They were hard to put together. Heck no, I don't want that. And they close the door. However,
yeah, I want one, because let me tell you something. I still got my two Kirbys, and I love both of them.
Right.
I sure
but
do.
The thing of it is, if you never had a Kirby, right?
But
and
if I never had one, sorry.
Or your auntie had one, and, you know, you're trying to put it together, no one showed you how to put it together, and you have a hard time trying to hook the you know, the small piece, you know, the motor,
right,
you know, to the vacuum cleaner, and you got a hook, and you got a lock, and you got a twist, and you got to do this, you get frustrated, and you're going to put the doggone thing at the curb or put it in a closet and go to Walmart and buy you $50 vacuum cleaner and call it a day. But
yeah, but let me tell
you
something. That Kirby vacuum cleaner is going to do a whole lot better of a job. That little $50
exactly
thing you get at Walmart.
Yeah, that's true. I'm telling you, let me tell you something. With a $500 Dyson, I mean, their suction probably won't last to like what, like month or 2 months.
Not even that. But if I come to your house,
a Kirby vacuum cleaner is a lifetime. I'm telling you, I got one when I first got married, and I got one right after Ron and I got married, and they're both just like brand new. Those jokers work good. Look, the
exactly,
one I got married, y'all are not going to believe this. It has a part to it, goes to it, that you can hook up and you can spray paint to paint your house, inside your house.
Wow.
Wouldn't give my Kirby for nobody. People come to me all the time wanting to buy. They want to trade out your Kirby for a new one. No, my old one works just fine. I got two of them. Works just fine. I love my
Kirby.
You know,
but thing of it is, if
but
y'all
don't
never had them,
one, you're right, Tina.
And
right.
I came to your house, right, and I offered you, I'm
mm-hmm.
knocking on your door, and I'm saying, hello, Miss Smith, how you doing? My name is Tina. You know, everybody in the neighborhood has done this today. I'm offering you a free demonstration on one room for free. I'm going to come in. I'm going to shampoo. I'm going to vacuum. I'm going to Scotch guard, deodorize your carpet, any room in your house for free. You ain't worrying about the Scotch guard and the dog on shampoo and vacuuming. All you hear is the word free. Now I come in, I check out your carpet, I do what I gotta do. Now I'm showing you all the stuff that the vacuum cleaner can do. From clean your walls, clean your drapes. Now we have our electric sweeper. The electric sweeper will come in and, you know, sweep your floor, and I can sit up and tell you, you know, you just got done sweeping. Have you ever had that pesky line when you're trying to sweep and you can't get it and it upsets you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now you can sit up there and take the electric sweeper. You can go up underneath the refrigerator, up underneath the dishwasher, up underneath the oven, your stove,
mm-hmm.
and get all of that. You're going to be amazed.
But you know what? You know what, Tina? Really and truly, you cleaning somebody's living room floor and they don't care.
They don't care about, because matter of fact, the house I was at today, he was like, so when the guy saw all of the stuff that it picked up, he was like, damn, I just cleaned my carpet. Dang, that came off my carpet? Can you vacuum over here? And so
mm-hmm.
then we did the kitchen floor.
You end up cleaning somebody's floor for free, and they still going to say no.
And then I used to, Tina, let me let you on a little secret.
When I had a cleaning service, we shampooed carpet, okay? And
mm-hmm.
what people fail to realize, your dirt from your carpet goes all the way down to the floor, which is the concrete or the wood, okay?
Yep, that's what they're told.
And this is what happens. When you shampoo your carpet, all you doing is getting your carpet wet and pushing it back somewhere, and then you're taking a wet vac and you're pulling the water back up, right? You're pulling the water back up. You're not pulling up the mud.
Mm-hmm.
You're pulling up the dirty water, and that mud from that carpet is still down on the floor, and guess what? It gets dry and hard as a rock, and when you remove your carpet, you've got bats of hard clay mud on your floor because all you did was you shampooed and got it wet and pulled up the surface, okay, and the rest is still down there. And this is how you get mildew, fungus, how it starts stinking over the years now. And you can't.
And that's what we tell people.
People don't believe you.
And I've seen it.
Kirby vacuum cleaner. And that's what people fail to realize. That Kirby's going to pull that dirt up over in that hard block somewhere, and then you go, that's how they know, wow, I just shampooed yesterday. Well, sir,
right.
I am.
That's what a lot of people, they sit up in there, but now, because see, this is, when I say the Kirby is so versatile, you can take the Kirby, put the handheld on, go over your mattress, and you going to pick up all this junk.
Uh-huh.
Off your mattress. You're going to pick up dead skin. You're going to pick up dust mites. And then the first thing, now they're embarrassed because they got, you know, you went over their sheets, their fitted sheet, and you got all this stuff on their fitted sheet. And they're like, ew, now they're embarrassed because they think that you think they're a dirty person. And that's when we have to go and tell them, no, this is dead skin. Every day we shed skin. Every day, every time we go to sleep, we are shedding. We shed X amount of skin follicles a day. And that is just dead skin. And dust mites are attracted to dead skin. So now you got dead skin and dust mites in your bed, and you're laying on this stuff. So now you feel like you're disgusting. You know, and they think you're disgusting. So now either you want to hurry up and buy the doggone thing, or you want to hurry up and get the person out your house because, you know, you got all these thoughts running through your head.
I have a question about that. Do you ever give them business cards or any information?
No.
We do not
give business cards. Why? Because Kirby is word of mouth. Kirby Kirby is word of mouth. If you notice, the only vacuum cleaners that do advertise are Bissell, Dyson, Hoover, and a couple of others. Kirby does not, we do not believe in doing commercials. We do not believe, why? Because it is word of mouth.
How much are they selling them for, Nantina?
They're pretty penny, but they're worth it.
I know they're worth it. I just told you. But, I mean, are they over 2,000 now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
but
now they add,
oh, I'm,
they add
huh?
more. They add more stuff to it.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, I know it's a good vacuum. It's not a doubt in my head that it's a good vacuum. But let's get back to the point of something that Myra was talking about in the beginning of the show. We kind of deviated a little bit here, but that's cool.
Yeah.
About
suicide and discrimination. Well,
yeah.
I'll tell you something.
Huh?
But, you know, in all honesty, you know, doing what I do can actually, like today I had a coworker. He
uh-huh.
got upset, and he got frustrated because he's a hands-on type of guy, right? Mm-hmm. Him going out there and knocking on somebody's door is not his cup of tea. However, he kept saying it. He told us, oh, at first he was all pumped up, and then he got in the field, and it was like, oh, I got nose, or I got talked rudely. This is not my type of thing. This is not me. This is not me. This is not who I am. And I'm thinking, and I'm listening to him, and I'm listening to him do this, and I'm already beating myself up because, okay, what did I do wrong? How can I make it better? And then I'm hearing him, right? I'm hearing other people, and I'm hearing what they're doing. So then I got their woes on top of my woes, on top of a migraine, on top of back pain, on top of my legs hurt, on top about everything else, and it was hot, and I'm wearing all black, so I'm just, okay, I'm this. So when my boss at up there and told me, he goes, it's how you walk. I understand you got a migraine, I understand that. He goes, but you're not walking with enthusiasm, you're not walking with excitement, you're not waving to the people in the neighborhood. If you do that, right, then because people out there outside or they're in the house, and before you even approach their door, they're like, okay, she's not a happy person, and by the time she gets to my door, I already know she's a salesperson, so I already know she's going to lie to me, so I already know her smile was fake, so he's telling me all of this. And I started thinking, you know what, I let my pain be the best.
Yeah.
I let my coworker, because I was concerned about my coworker, because he was upset. And other people were saying what they didn't get. And I was so worried about how another coworker got a sale right off the bat. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? So I'm beating myself up, which made it worse.
Yeah.
But he was like, you know what? You stuck through it. You didn't get upset? Yeah, you got kind of down. I'm like, okay. He goes, but that's, you know, but come on now. You've been out here all day. You haven't got it yet. You don't feel good. It's hot. So, yeah, you're going to feel kind of down. But you stuck with it. You didn't give up.
And that's important.
That's the main thing. You
didn't
give up.
You didn't give up. Now, let's get back to the subject. Because I've got some things I need to talk about here for a quick second here before my phone rings, okay? The subject was suicide, and I wanted to add something to it. I used to do some serious counseling with a lot of people, and I won't go into every little detail of it, but I'll just, you know, I'll do a little surface. People sometimes are pushed into suicide, okay?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Pushed into suicide by, and this sounds really ugly, it can be by your parents, it can be by your husband, it can be by your lover, it can be by a family member, ex-husband.
You know, it can be by the church.
Hold up. It can be by a lot of things that you would say, what in the world made you want to commit suicide? And when you hear these stories, it make you want to cry because you go like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, that person, that wants to commit suicide, someone has just stripped them, hear this word, of all their God-given power to live.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, when someone does that to a person, it is the most saddest thing in the world that you're trying to put that person back where they rightfully belong on the earth as a God-living human. When someone tells you you're not worth it, you're no good, you ugly, you fat, you stink, you too black, you too got too much blonde hair, you got blue eyes, or something's wrong with you, I just don't like you, I don't love you. Now, the biggest one is I don't love you, I don't want to be with you no more, and every time that person is stripping them more and more. And
right, and, you know, I've actually known somebody, and they told me this, and I didn't know what to do. And I think I just stepped on my mouth wide open.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And she sat up there and she told me that, and I know this woman very, very well. In fact, she has become one of my dearest friends.
Now?
She said that she was so depressed in her relationship that she did everything in her power to get him to notice her. And she says she drank a half a bottle of bleach.
Good grief.
No, shoot. Are you serious?
She said she drank a half a bottle of bleach. And then she told him, I think I need to go to the hospital because I just drank bleach. And he said, why did you? She's like, why in the heck you want to do something that stupid like that? What the H is wrong with you? Are you that stupid? And just start tearing her down even more. And he was like, you know what? If you that doggone dumb to sit up there and drink bleach, then I ain't going to effing help you. If you want to feel better, go make yourself pearl. I'm going to bed. Good night. And I hope I see you tomorrow. If not, oh well.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
That's more
and
than
that
one.
Made her feel so terrible about herself. Here's this man. They took vows before, you know, man and God, right? And he tells her that he doesn't give a flying flip if she lives or dies. And then,
wow,
you know, she makes it through the next day because, of course, she made herself sick, right? And so then she gets up. He acts like nothing was wrong. They go to work because they work together, you know. And then they came home, and then now after they're home, he looks at her talking about self, you know. And now he wants to be intimate with her, but he didn't give a flying flip if she lived or died because she drank bleach. She said she has tried to kill herself numerous times. She sat in the car with, you know, her car running in the garage. Thankfully, nothing happened. And it was just, she said it was attempt after attempt after attempt. She said that he has never physically put his hands on her. But it was emotional. It was the verbal. It was the conniving. It was the lies that made her just say, I don't want to live.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of people sit up there and tell me, and this, I think, out of everything I've ever heard from everybody, this one actually made me cry, and it still makes me cry.
Did she stay with him?
No, they're no longer together.
I was just gonna say
she had
I
would
have divorced
she,
him. All the love
she,
in the
she,
world.
She did.
Yeah,
she finally just realized enough's enough.
But he did buzz. He stripped her of her God living. Remember, I said her God will and power that God gave her. He stripped her of it, and that's
yeah.
And you know,
and that's what happens. And a lot of people, you know, when you're going through that, somebody actually sat up there and told me, and I told him, it was a young man at my church, and he posted on Facebook one day that he was going to do away with himself, and he was telling everybody he, you know, bye, whatever. And a friend of mine called me and told me what happened. And so when I apparently, you know, that Sunday morning we seen him at church, and I jacked him up. I literally grabbed him by his throat, threw him up against the wall, said, if you ever do that again, you won't have me to deal with. I said, because you're young, you're a handsome young man, and you're smart, and there's no pain in this world that we cannot fix together. You feel that way, you call me. He said, yes, ma'am. So he felt that way again, and he called me, and it was late at night, and he called me crying. And he said, Auntie, all right. I said, I'm on my way. Tell me where you at. And I went to go get him. And we set up.
Thank God.
I went to go pick him up. We set up at midnight. I went to go get him at midnight because I was actually in a bit when he called. And I had a doctor's appointment the next day at 8 o'clock in the morning. But it was worth me being staying up all night with this young man. And we talked about everything that was bothering him. Now, once we talked, I said, do you feel better? He said, yes, I do. I said, let me ask you something. How crazy is your problem compared to what you was going to do? Now, I didn't say he was dumb. I didn't say he was stupid. I asked him, how crazy is your problem compared to what you're going to do? I said, because right about now, that's a permanent fix to a temporary situation.
Yeah.
He said, well. He goes, well, Auntie. He goes, I can talk to people. I can talk to people who love me and care about me, and that's going to give me sound advice. I'm like, okay. He goes, I got my church family. I can talk to my pastor. I said, okay. He goes, and if she can't see what I did was right or because of this, because he was being accused of something that he didn't really do or he was aware of. The girl lied about her age. And so because he was older, he was about to be in some serious trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's thinking about everything. I said, okay. I go, so you're – now, I was just real with him. I said, you're talking about killing yourself. And this young lady who lied about her age is having your baby. So now your baby is going to grow up not knowing you. And when she does hear about you, all she's going to hear is how bad you are, how bad this. And her first thought going to go through her head, my daddy opted out. And that's what got him. I go, do you want her to hear what they say about you? Or do you want her to hear what you say about you? And he sat there with tears in his eyes, and he's like, I cannot believe I was that dumb. I go, no, you were just hurt.
Well, ladies,
and he said, after that,
what do you say, Mara?
That's good, guys. Now you got some good stuff. What's going on? I'm gonna share this. I'm sorry to interrupt you right here. You know, there's hotlines out there that will help you out. Okay. And recently I just found out this one number here, and for those that you try to commit suicide, you need to get the help. There's a phone number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's in English and in Spanish and Korean. God knows what language you trying to attempt to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
There's an 800 number, and I'm going to share it to y'all. It's 1-800-273-8255.
And that's the suicide. A lot of time with that, Myra, it's, they feel ashamed that they feel that way. They feel ashamed, and then their mindset is already to that level, right? You have, and then when you, if they do call the hotline, because I had a friend who called the hotline, and he said the person, because at that point in time, his mind was already gone. He was already determined on what he wanted to do, so he calls me to tell me bye. And I'm like, okay, so I thought you said you were going to call the hotline. He's like, well, I did. And he goes, but he was going to ask me what was causing my pain and what was going to make me think that way and what was going to make me do this. And he was just, I said, baby, I said, you got to understand something. That's his job. He is supposed to ask you what's wrong. They're supposed to ask you what put you in that place.
Exactly.
But because his mind was already altered on focusing on the pain. And my parents won't miss me, and because him and his parents just had a fight. And everybody that he knew, he just had an argument with. And it was all this stuff. I said, sweetheart, he just asked you, what were your feelings? He wants you to express yourself. That's all. That's all he wanted you to do. He wanted you to express yourself. He wanted you to, I guess, say what really was bothering you. What is making you feel this way? What is making you think this way? And he finally came out, and he told me what was going on. And so now once he started to talk about it, now he's realizing that the person on the other phone was not judging him.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to get him to validate what was going on in his life, in his circle. What was going on? He was trying to get him, well, you know, if you got that much negativity, remove yourself from negativity. Well, he told me to kill myself. Okay, well, what did he say? Well, he said, remove myself from negativity.
That doesn't sound negativity.
He's not telling you to go along with it. He's telling you to remove yourself from the toxic people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is family, whether it is friends, whatever. Even if it's me, if you think I'm toxic to you, let me know so I can sit up in there and I can fix it. But because he already had that mindset of what was going on and focusing on the bad instead of the positive and what he did bring to this world, you know, and it for him, you know, and a lot of people I've known who thought about it, who contemplated it, it also deal with discrimination, and for some unknown reason,
exactly,
suicide and discrimination, some are like kissing cousins, because you don't like me because I'm this, or you don't like me because I am not this, or you don't like me because of I'm fat and I'm mixed, or I'm this and I'm that. And so now they they're looking at their inner circle, they're looking at their outer circle, they're looking at society. The society says that if you're a big woman, you're not attractive. And if you're big, you're obviously, you stink and you're sloppy and you're this and you're that. And all this other type of stuff. But what a lot of females, especially big females, but especially big girls, and I see a lot of young girls on Facebook, you know, who sits up in there and destroy themselves. Oh, I'll be pretty if I was small. Well, I'll be pretty if I look like this person or that person. Or I'll be prettier if I had Kylie Jenner's lips. And, okay, but Kylie Jenner got Botox, baby. She got lip plumpers. Okay, love yourself. No matter what society says, love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you can't get nobody else to love you if you don't love you. You know,
exactly.
And discrimination. And I say this I believe that discrimination is also taught in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we hear our parents, you know, say certain things. Oh, well, we don't go to that church because of this. Or we don't do that because of this. Or we just don't do that because we're Puerto Rican or because we're black. What the devil does your race got to do with you getting help?
Yeah.
I've heard so many people, oh, blacks don't go to therapy. But it's okay for this black child to go commit suicide because you won't let your child go to therapy.
Oh, Lord, no.
Do you not know that children sometimes want to commit suicide? Because school, peer pressure, somebody's making fun of them, can't read good, or they're not learning as fast as the others. I mean, they have problems, too.
Yeah,
I got a phone call here. I got a phone call here, ending with 1173. Let me go get her this line here. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey, sister, how you been doing?
I've been all right.
You got any comments or questions or anything whatsoever about
this? Yeah, why is it that society thinks that just because you have a big old butt and stuff that you have to go and do something that you're not used to?
That's a good question.
Like, you know, society thinks that just because you have a big butt, you have to go and, like, literally go and strip. I don't think so.
You know, and it's funny that
that's
you
crazy.
Said that because at first, back in the day, if a female had, you know, a big backside, it was unattractive.
Yeah,
and
that's
if
what,
she, if she, if
that's
she was
what I'm
away,
being picked on for. And
right.
Taking me off.
And it's unattractive. However,
yes.
Now is like, oh, if you have the body, flaunt it. I'm like, and this is my belief and my personal opinion only. I am not going to let the society, the media, the fashion industry tell me what is sexy. Because I can be sexy in a pair of basketball shorts, a tank top, and a pair of hot tops. And go to the mall, go to Walmart, H-E-B, wherever I so choose, with a friend. And as long as I think that I look beautiful, and as long as I feel confident in who I am as a big girl, then therefore, who is the society, the media, the fashion industry should have been telling me I am not. I don't have to show skin to be sexy.
Well, some people go to the mall with a pair of pajamas on. And that's not sexy.
No, Lord Jesus.
Right, but you
yeah,
know,
I kind of learned the hard way.
The way how you dress, the way your figure is you got to figure out what kind of outfit is proper to you.
Yeah,
right.
True. It's like
because
how you
if
know
you wear,
what outfits are proper and not.
If you
because
wear,
honestly,
like, tie-ass jeans... If you wear the tight ass jeans that's so tight and it's your butt showing like that, that's not cool.
No, but
you
know, the thing of it is, you have some women, in all honesty, you know, we all either we know one or two, or we know that one female who happened to be a friend or a family member, unless she's showing skin, whether she's small, whether she's a toothpick, whether she's, you know, round as a barrel. She's not so sexy unless she's showing skin. Why? Because to her, that is sexy. To everybody else, well, no, baby, cover up.
Yeah, you're looking nasty. But you know what?
Right?
A really and truly person should know what they're going to put on before they leave the house. Because I'm telling you, men really don't want to see your body all the time. They really don't. They would like to kind of guess what's under there. Instead of you volunteering, showing them every time you turn around. You know, sometimes women can have skirts on that's too short, shorts, what they call them, Daisy Dukes, or, you know, everything is thin, right straight through. They don't want that. They want to be able to say, you know, she's beautiful, but I want to be able to get to know her with some clothes on instead of trying to show it to me. Because the average man really and truly does not want his woman where everybody can see exactly what she's got. And if she's got a big backside, you know, you put on something decent, you can look nice in it, just like a skinny person can. Really.
Okay, Sister Marilyn, let me interrupt you there. Right? Sister Marilyn, you know, back in the 70s, you know, my mom always told me that, you know, Daisy Dukes were the popular, you know, outfits of those days, and the mini skirts, and mini skirts, too. I mean, but
why even, like,
if
guys
you have a
figure, girls in mini skirts and stuff.
People wore them, honey. They wore them, but let me tell you something. You caught a little hell wearing them, too, now. You might go out that door thinking you looking good, but you come back, your family's going to get on you about going outside looking like who shot Johnny.
Right.
Because
no,
you,
I will not wear it.
Because the family
no.
I got and the male friends I had back in the day, and Marcus would have been tell you because she knew my homeboys. I remember one time we were about to go to the club, and I thought I had a pair of decent shorts on. They wasn't too short. They wasn't too long. They hit me, like, mid-thigh. I wasn't showing too much. I could actually sit up in there and bend over. You wasn't seeing nothing but a pair of shorts. Had on a tank top. They looked at me talking about wearing the H. You think you're going wearing that?
Because every man don't want you going out looking
I'm going
like
to the club at all.
They really don't.
When I sit up in there and tell you, they all sat and in the bathroom with me while I did my makeup and sit up there and told me, you got two options. You can take them things off right now and go put on a pair of jeans, or we ain't going nowhere.
Oh,
I said, well,
wow.
I guess we ain't going nowhere because there ain't nothing wrong with my pair of shorts. He goes, so we have this debate. Because one thought my shorts were fine, one thought my shorts was too short, one thought I was showing too much leg, and, you know, and then I had, he goes, well, you got your legs out and you're wearing a tank top, at least put a shirt over the tank top. I'm like, well, doggone it, I'm in the bathroom doing hair and makeup, I ain't finished dressing yet, crazy. Now, we go out. When I sit up there and said that any guy that came up and tried to talk to me when I say they came out of nowhere, these fools came out of nowhere, first thing they asked is, what's your intention with my sister? And they're like, we just want to dance. Okay, so what's the first thing you notice about it? And then the dude starts staring, he's like, I'm bye. You ain't getting up with my sister. Now, what ticked me off about that situation is there was a girl in the club, as my grandma would say, short and dress so so short you could smell her breath. Right? And ogling her, you know, and talking about how they was going to go talk to her. But yet, because of my shorts, they had a whole entire hissy fit. And when I asked them why, they said, because you're my sister. I said, but she's somebody's sister.
So well, you see, that's the problem about that. I see women, you know, showing their cleavage, you know, breasts. And, I mean, they had, like, shirts that, you know, they show too much, you know, the chest. And there's some, show too much. Belly and then pants were just showing too much butt. I'm like, what in the world are they doing in these clothes these days?
I don't know.
But you know what? I don't know. Y'all got to think about something too.
I admit that I have a problem with my cleavage, okay?
You or you don't.
Okay.
I
do. But it hurt, you know, is it something when you are, you know, as my grandma would call it, a full bosom, right?
Yeah.
You can't help that. but you don't go out and deliberately. Now, I've known girls who do this, and my cousin's one of them. Buy a bra that is a cup size smaller than what she needs, or in her case, two cup sizes smaller than what she needs, a shirt smaller than what she needs, and then go put that on, and then because she has a big chest, the girl has Triple H's, so, and I don't mean a wrestler, but she wears stuff that is too small for her. And then she complains about the tension that she gets from the opposite sex.
You know, Tina, that's very dangerous, wearing a bra that's too small for you. That is not good at all.
That I know it ain't cute, but you extremely, try to tell this crazy girl this, right?
I mean, the things that can happen to her in the future, you know, bruises from a bra strap is dangerous, a bra too tight around you. It's dangerous. The cup.
Like, how do you know what size you wear?
Honestly, you can go to JCPenney measures. Now, if you are not trying to get in your business, Sweet Pea, but depending on how big you are in the bust area, I know Wayne Bryant, yes, they are more expensive, but I did take a roommate there. Correction, my cousin is not an H, she's like a G, a triple G. And I don't even know if they make those, but they do.
Avenue A?
No, Lane Bryant has them. Catherine's have them because Catherine's and Lane Bryant cater to the bigger women, so which means they are going to have a bigger bra selection there. Because if my former roommate can get hers, then she's like a... She was like either a triple G or a J or something like that. But hers are pretty big. But
you know, I tell you something else too. Avon has big bras too. Big cups. Avon does.
Yeah, but I know with Lane Bryant, Victoria's Secret, JCPenney, they actually measure the butt. They actually have a measuring tape and they'll go around and they'll sit up there and tell you exactly what you need, what type of bra you need, underwire, wire, whatever.
Your breast is big, this is one bra you definitely don't need. You do not need the bra. It has the wire up under there. Especially
and you don't need nothing cheap.
Yeah.
No Walmart
specs. You need good straps that is nice and wide. You need a band in the back nice and wide. You also need a nice that your breast fits down and not squeezing it. And you do not buy a bra if you're heavy set and you're up in your boobs that has the wire around it. That's dangerous. It can do a lot of things to your body.
The
thing to do is just go get married and get a bra to fit you. Because sometimes a woman, when she's getting ready for her monthly, her breast swells and she needs a little extra space.
Yep.
So don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed about that.
I think it's more of an embarrassment because I've seen beautiful women who are big busted, right? And they don't have this knowledge. So then they will go to Walmart or go to Kmart and go buy a bra that they. Knowing that they don't know what size they are, and it does not give them the coverage that they need. I've heard of women, I've seen a few women,
I'm one of them. So.
Do what?
No, because
I admit I'm one of them.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, there's nothing wrong because if you didn't know, you know, but I've known women and I've seen women because they're so top heavy. They just decide to go out one because they can't find one that fits them.
I know of a young girl. She has a small waistline, and when I say small, she's about a 32. But her boobs are like a 48 double D. I mean 3D. I'm sorry, 3D. And she has a very hard time of finding clothes to fit her. because she's her boobs are so big and she has a little bitty waistline.
And
a,
see,
and
that's
small, a, okay. See.
And you see, that's a big problem about it, because with your shapes and size you are, you know, people are gonna be like thinking like, oh, are they gonna laugh at me? Are they gonna like, they're gonna stare at me? They're gonna say, snicker at me like,
and that goes back to discrimination, because if a female has a big butt, you know, and if she does have a body, she's automatically put in a category, not just from females, but from men. She's easy. She has to be this type of female. She has to act this type of way. And all honestly, and I say this because I'm a, you know, I fit in that category of a big butt and a big behind. So from, and all honestly, if a guy comments and says something to me about my cleavage, about my derriere, I'm it's easier for me to sit up in it and comment back. It's easier for me to automatically sit up in it and, you know what, grow up.
Yeah.
Because you're this age, you're 56 years of age, and you're talking to me like you're 5 or you're 6. Grow up. But if a female comes at me and tells me, oh, you got a nice chest, you this, and she automatically puts me in that category of this, and all honestly, it hurts coming from a female than it does from a female. I don't know what to say to respond to her.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something, and both everybody hear me very well.
Yes.
There's a lady that a friend of mine's 2 years ago, before she died, she told me something, and I'm gonna share this with you guys. She said, I would give anything in the world to have big boobs, extra large boobs, oversized boobs, flat chest, anything, as to know that I don't have any boobs, because they cut her boobs off, and she died with cancer. She died with cancer, and she used to tell me, you know, God give you these boobs, you need to take care of them. And she told me all... She told me about the tattoos she had put on her breast and all the stuff she was doing to her body and all the stuff that got in her skin, and she got cancer and she died. I never forgot what my friend told me. And I tell people all the time, you're doing things to your body you don't even know what you're doing. You need to get a bra to fit you. You need to get your panties to fit you. You need not to have your pants too tight, showing you for JJ, and with these real tight-fitting clothes on. You can't.
That's true.
Air, you're just messing yourself up. And you need to,
you gotta
you need
be comfortable.
To, you just need to take care of yourself, because it's going to catch up with you.
Exactly. And I agree with y'all. I agree with y'all 100%. Because judging is a killer.
Do you not know that people buy them by shoes? People go even by shoes thinking they're looking good. Too low for their feet.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know, and the thing of it is, I'm sorry, but I know I was working when my first job, and I have, and anybody who has ever known me has known I am not a tennis shoe type of person. Mm-hmm. I never really have been. Because see, for me, I was raised, tennis shoes are for play. You want good shoes, you go buy shoes. Not tennis shoes. And see, for me, the majority of my life when I was growing up, I was in public school. I mean, private school. So for me, it always was shoes. You know, it was dress shoes. It was penny loafers. It was a loafer. It was a small flat. So therefore, I grew up with tennis shoes. Now, I didn't grow up with tennis shoes. Tennis shoes for me were for play. You know, we go outside, we go to P.E., we put on our tennis shoes, put my tennis shoes on. P.E. was all, we'll take my shoes, take my tennis shoes off, put my school, you know, put my school shoes back on. I came home, I ran outside in sandals. So for me, tennis shoes was not really a thing for me. And so then when I started working, they tell me I got to buy tennis shoes. I'm like, I got to buy tennis shoes. I don't want a pair of tennis shoes. What you talking about? I got flip-flops. I got heels. I got boots. I got more boots. I got boots on top of boots. But I don't have tennis shoes. So I messed up my feet. And a man, an older gentleman came out. I'll never forget his name. His name is Mr. Luther. And he said, you got them cute shoes on. He goes, so how cute are your shoes now? You can barely walk in them things. You still feeling cute? And I kind of looked at him.
I don't even
like
them. I've never liked them. I don't like them. I think they stink. People, I just don't like them. And I'm, speaking of going to school, I didn't wear tennis shoes when I was going to school. I wore penny loafers. My mother got those shoes. You know, one you used to put the penny in it, or you got the black and white ones, or the black, the brown and white shoes. I never wore tennis shoes to school. I don't like tennis shoes. I think tennis shoes.
For me, I was the same
walking
way.
And that's
I
about
had,
What's
some shoes we had back in the day, y'all? I think it was like deck shoes. I had a pair of those.
I had
a brown pair. I had a black pair. I had a blue. Baby, I had all kinds of colors. Right?
I remember LA Gears, Nikes, and
Adidas.
See, but for me, you know, trying to put now that I'm older and I'm trying to wear a tennis shoe, it's hard for me to find a tennis shoe that I like. Why? Because I never was a tennis shoe type of person. But when he sat up in there and he told me that, right, that got me thinking. He said, baby, you only got one set of feet. Take care of
them. That's true.
You know what's hard for me? Buying high heels.
Oh, Jesus.
Because you know why? It's because you never...
High heels is a bad shoe for you. You need to really... Ooh, they can really... My husband's in the background hollering, high heels. Ooh, they're the worst. Daddy, I want to hear a man... Wait a minute. Come here, Ron. Come over here and yell out.
Hold up for a minute.
Hello? You want to hear a man? Listen, what he's fixing to tell you. Go ahead.
He said, Spurs, I think.
And the heel of your foot.
Yeah. You end up tearing up your toes, and a lot of people sometimes get their toes cut off. Especially wear for a long time.
I guess we know that, don't we? Your toes, mess up your calves of your legs, the heels of your foot. He's right. He's a high heel issue. I mean, it's okay to wear for a little while, but don't wear them too long.
No, I mean, I wear like tennis shoes and like baby doll shoes and stuff.
Just wear something.
I can never find high heels because I wear girl size shoes.
What size is that? A five?
No, I wear 3.5.
Oh, you're going to have a real hard time finding a high heel.
Yeah.
Really?
And because of her height, I mean, that's another thing about that.
You
be discriminated because of your height.
Yeah. I'm going to ask Myra, was she short? How tall are you?
Yeah.
I'm only like 4'9".
Oh, honey, look, keep it comfortable. Keep it comfortable. You don't really want a high heel shoe, you know, just to make yourself a little taller. Just be comfortable and look nice in something decent.
Exactly.
You know,
if they discriminate you,
okay.
Who you are and everything, let it go. Just ignore them.
But in all honesty, if she wants, because we don't know why women want high heel shoes.
Yeah, we do.
I just wanted to wear it look taller. That's all.
Okay, that could be it. But I know I have a coworker. And she lost a lot of weight.
Oh, Tina, did you hear what she said?
Yes, I did. And I don't have a problem with that. Why? Because if that's what she feels that's going to make her feel beautiful, okay, then fine. Let her do it. If she can find a shoe that can fit her.
Those,
okay, cool.
shoes. You can buy those shoes, and they look just as good as high heels. Oh God, what they call them things? They, you know, they're tall and they got a wide heel in the
platforms.
Background.
Platforms. You talk about platforms from the '70s. You know,
no,
where the Austin Powers.
Back,
no, the
'70s, Myra. Myra, cut it out. I'm talking about you can go down to the you can buy them at Walmart. They're just you know, they're God, my little niece loves them things. The Koreans makes those shoes. Oh, what are they called? There you go. They almost look like they just make you tall and they look pretty. They have all kind of little disease. You can strap them around your ankles, you know, and all this good stuff.
You can probably get a mule. They call them mules or wedges, one of the two.
Yeah. But she can look good. I mean, it was okay. If you ever fall in a pair of high heels, I wish you never seen them.
Go back in the 70s, y'all.
I didn't want to wear them things no more for a long time. I used to have
a pair of platforms. They looked so cute on me, and a little strass and stuff. And you know, they're like about 3-inch, you know, heels. And I'm like, wow, they look so cute, and I look so tall. Oh, God.
Have you ever walked in a pair of high heels, Tina? You ever walked out of any of y'all have walked out of a pair of high heels and you get your foot caught, your heel gets caught in concrete, gets caught in mud, scraps scrapes all the color off the back of your heel. You think you're looking good. And y'all, this done happened to you because you just got on a brand new pair of shoes. You done messed them up, warm one time somewhere. Girl, please.
I've done that. I've actually done that.
Crill your ankle over and fall and grab and hold to somebody and whatever you can to keep them. Please, you better keep them.
I remember a rock group's kids. They used to have these big old platform boots and some stuff like that. And they were. I'm like, good Lord, it looks so tall.
Hey, Myra. Myra.
What's that?
Remember prom and those big baby doll shoes I had?
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my goodness gracious. Those were terrible. And I remember, I don't know, ladies, have you ever seen a video on YouTube or I think it was Ridiculousness on MTV? There was this one lady, she was walking with some high heels, and all of a sudden her ankle was, like, twisted like that. At the same time, that's scary. I don't like that at all. Well, we
but
got
you know
11
what,
minutes remaining here.
Can
I hate to cut this short, but we got 11 minutes.
How many minutes?
11 minutes remaining. And we're gonna go on with the Let's Talk and Pray, Miss Marilyn. Tell me a little more about it, real quick.
You can go to www.letstalkandpray. Or you can call for an appointment, please. 254-634-4648. Again, www.letstalkandpray. Okay? 254-634-4648. Call for an appointment. If it's anything important, I do go ahead and talk to you if I'm randomly answering the telephone because sometimes I have so many calls back to back to back to back. Now, you can leave me a voicemail message at 254-520-5334, and I'll call you back as soon as possible. But I do pray. I do mentoring. I do prayers for people. I coach you. I try to help you as much as I can, but you also got to try to help yourself. I'm also on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., and I have a conference call. Go on the Let's Talk and Pray. I pull up the numbers for the conference call and the PIN number. And that way we can have, we have different little topics, and sometimes they get really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we just have a good old time talking about whatever God wants to talk about with whatever. Sometimes it's own topics. I let a little girl pick her own topics last week. She kept calling and said, I want to go on, and I let her, didn't I, Mara? So we
had a good time.
This child had some things that sounded like an adult, but it was really, I mean, she kept me and Mara on our toes. Let me put it to you that way.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll call it anytime you like.
Good.
And I'll appreciate it. Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you, Mara.
All right. Thank you, Miss Sister Marilyn. Also, please, people, please, if you are trying to, you know, try to commit suicide, you know, anybody out there in this world who try to commit suicide, there is a hotline, and the number is 1-800-273-8255, and there's a webpage also. You could go to www.suicidepreventionlifeline.org. People, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they will try to give you the help as needed. If not, just if you know anybody who's trying to commit suicide or anything, dial 911 immediately and report this. Because suicide is a deadly killer. And what I just recently found out, what happened the last time I saw in the news about this poor guy, I mean, it just teared me up big time.
What?
A gentleman, they found a body in the lake, and the gentleman that I really know, I know him from high school, he passed mm-hmm. away. And
Wait, was that what I saw on TV?
Don't know. I don't know if you from the clean in the Texas area, it might be, but
yeah.
Okay. Well, the gentleman, I don't know. It's a possibility that he did, but I cannot predict anything. You know, but if you find, like, any weird stuff, any weird things on Facebook and social media or anything, like messages mm-hmm. or anything, you think mm-hmm. about that. It can be, and what it might not. I can't be, you know, can't be the judge of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ladies, do you have anything to say about, you know, what I just said about, you know, finding things weird on social media or anything?
It's whether it's social media, whether it's a text message, whether it's a voicemail, we have to take that seriously.
Sure do, Tina. We really do.
Because there's a show that I watch every Monday night called The Fosters.
I watch that show.
And the episode that was on last Monday was a girl, she was mentally ill. And whenever she didn't get her way, she would threaten, it was suicide come out of her mouth. And her mother didn't believe her. She goes, oh, she cried wolf before. And oh, she done this before, and all she does is want money, and all she's wanted for drugs, and blah, 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 blah. Well, this particular day, she stopped calling Wolf, and she did it. And so the mother felt terrible. Now, granted, they was able to get her in time and save her, but we don't know if the person is calling Wolf just to see if somebody would care. But the thing of it is, the day we stop caring is the day they're going to stop caring.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're tired and we had a crappy day and we know and we feel that we know that we know this person and we think that they just doing this, I'd rather still go out there and call and talk and text because I know personally I cannot live with that over my head. I've dealt mm-hmm. with it in high school before where it was, I feel like it was my fault. I feel like if I would and if I would have just made him talk to me, if I would have went and got help, if I would have just, and it's always if the shoulda, coulda, woulda. And I still mm-hmm. blame myself. This was in 93, and I still blame myself till this day because now I wonder what this young man would have done with his life. What would he have done? What could he have accomplished with his life if I would have just made him talk to me? Talk to a teacher. Talk to a guidance counselor.
Yeah.
And so now I don't want to have that if over my head because a person that I think is calling a wolf or because I'm tired and I don't feel like dealing with their foolishness. I don't want to do that anymore. So if you think they're playing, keep in mind they're not. They're just probably trying to see who cares.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Sister T. We got like 3 minutes remaining. I have a couple of things to say. When I did my radio show today as like part of my, you know, my assignment for, you know, my degree, and once when I did that, you know, saying that, you know, it kind of teared me up a lot. And, you know, we don't have, you know, connections, but he's still, you know, a classmate. No matter what.
Mm-hmm.
If he graduated from your class, he will still be your classmate, regardless what you, you know, even he's a thug, and maybe he tried to be a comedian, maybe he tried to be like this back in the days, but now it's like, my God, he did this. Why?
Mm.
But people got things, you know, I guess God just, you know, and we can't blame God for that.
I wish I was closer to him.
You know, you said something right there. I hear a lot of people when there's a lot of negativity go on in the world.
Yeah.
And this is a phrase I hear so much. Well, if there really was a God, why would he let this happen to good people?
Yeah. Well, we got 90 seconds. Sorry.
You know, I'm just saying, but, you know, and a lot of times, when it's sad, when a person is hurting that bad, the one thing that they say to you all the time, I don't want to hear about God. I don't want to hear about your God. Because your God doesn't this, and your God doesn't this. And so I respond with, bad things happen.
Yeah. Well, we got like 44 seconds remaining. I'm sorry, T. I'm trying to be rude or anything, but we might be off the air like in 35 seconds. I am totally apologize.
No, you're good.
So, thanks again. Thank you for being on our show. Sisters, you guys did an excellent job. I mean, thank you for all the words and everything, and I'm totally blessed for it. And thank you for everybody who's listening in. And once again, see you guys hopefully next week, and we will continue on with this show, okay? Have a good night.
Good night. I'm blessed for you.
Good night and bless.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night, ladies.